half a biscuit to eat that day.
Oh, he would be so mad if he knew that was all she'd eaten. Was it because he cared about her, or because he just wanted to be in control?
Rosemary silently scolded herself for even wondering. She needed a break. Her back was tight and knotted, and her hands felt stiff as boards and filled with a numbing ether.
So this is it?
Helen asked.
This is the masterpiece?
Surprisingly, there was no sarcasm in Helen's voice. Her eyes flickered with amusement as she appraised the full-length portrait of the exquisitely beautiful young man.
Nice and big,
she said to Rosemary, turning to her with a near smile. Rosemary nodded and laughed with embarrassment.
It's maybe the biggest canvas I've ever used,
confessed Rosemary in a hushed voice.
Well, your biggest or not, it's certainly your best work yet,
said Helen.
But what's really curious to me is that it may also be nature's best work. The young man, that is.
Rosemary nodded and tried to look particularly serious, but was distracted. An image of last night's dream flitted through her mind, forcing her to close her thighs to suppress the sudden ache between them. In the dream, he'd been on top of her, clutching her from behind, pushing her into the mattress, holding her hair like a strap as he thrust into her. She'd never felt a man inside her before, and expected it would be quite painful. But in the dream, there was only excitement and build, and a final explosion of sensation that caused her to wake with a cry.
And quite the effect it has on you,
Helen said, interrupting Rosemary's replay of the dream.
You can't even look at the greatest work of your life, the best part of yourself, in the eye.
Rosemary laughed and shook her head, but what Helen said was true. While Rosemary could hardly avert her gaze from the young man, when he was sitting in person before her, looking at him as a painting, her painting, was practically unbearable. This was her best work, surely, but its effect on her was unsettling. And the man it depicted,
oh, he was perfect then,
when he walked into her studio, just as he was now, consuming the canvas, when she could feel her own desire for him bouncing back at her, mocking her. She had not only painted his hooded grey eyes, so dark and mysterious, but had painted her own desire in them. Yes, his full-lipped, mischievous smile she'd rendered with exactitude, but there too was her desire, the terrifying urge for his kiss.
You must certainly send it next year to the Grosvenor,
Helen said, stubbing out her cigarette and stretching out languidly on the divan.
The academy is too large and too vulgar. Whenever I've gone there, there have been either so many people that I haven't been able to see the pictures, which was dreadful, or so many pictures that I haven't been able to see the people, which was worse.
I don't think I shall send it anywhere, said Rosemary.
She put her head into her hands and slumped into the chair across from Helen, knocking into a lamp and catching it before it could fall and shatter.
Please tell me you don't crash around like that before our young prince,
said Helen, raising a brow at the painting and lighting another opium-tainted cigarette.
Not that I don't love a good racket in this excruciating peace and quiet.
Rosemary was no longer listening to Helen. She was back in last night's dream. He was holding her neck tightly, almost so tightly she thought she could choke, yet she was unafraid. Her head swirled and lightened, her mind giving way to the blows of pleasure.
No, I won't send it anywhere,
she repeated.
Why is that, my dear?
Asked Helen, continuing before Rosemary could answer.